This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi along with the Polish Pipe. I'm Jeff Orlowski. And joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from Amelia Island, Florida, which is just north of Jacksonville, it is Eddie Lapine. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Well, hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. It's actually, the weather is starting to warm up a bit, and just a lot of stuff going around, not only in the current world of motorsports, but also in the historic part of motorsports, let's say. And of course, you're down for Bill Warner's fantastic Amelia Concourse, the 25th year, if I recall correct.
Well, don't mind me if I'm out of breath, but I'm running down the fairway right now to get to the chute for they're lining up 30 some Penske cars for a photo shoot, the annual photo shoot, as you well know, Steve. Roger Penske's being honored this weekend as Bill Warner's guest, and it's a who's who of celebrities here this weekend. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, one of the...
You might hear the pop of an engine.
Okay, one of the funny... friend of the show, Peter Cunningham, posted a thing on Facebook last night I thought was funny. It had Penske in one of his one of the Porsche Carreras, and it said Peter wrote down one of the lot guys is moving one of the cars for the Penske shoot, and it was him in the car. Oh, Peter's dry humor coming through again, but it just shows how far in reaching Rogers reaches in motorsports from a car owner point of view, from all the different cars and series he was involved with. And what are some of the cars that are down there that have caught your eye?
Well, where do you start? I mean, it's unbelievable. 917 L&M car, George Fulmer drove here, going to be on the lawn. I'm looking at Rick Mears' Indy car, the Pennzoil Miller car. I mean, we got the Sunoco Lola that Mark Donahue drove back in the day, and then, you know, the Porsche Spyder that we're very familiar with.
Yep.
More current now. It's just unbelievable. It's mega. I mean, this is it's the 25th anniversary of Bill Warner's show, and as you well know, he was this show was voted the best in the world. And that's pretty big accomplishment. And here we are.
Yeah, for those that might not be familiar with it, it's on Amelia Island, which is just north of Jacksonville. And they hold it at the Ritz-Carlton. I've had the pleasure to be down there a few times. And just a very, very neat event, not only for the concourse, but all the things that are involved around it. They have road trips that you can go on. There's symposiums and meetings and whatnot you can go on. And it's just a pretty neat event. Are there any of the Rogers, like the Penske Matador or any of his older NASCAR cars there?
I haven't seen one yet, but I'm looking at the Camaro right now. The Sunoco Camaro. I'm looking at that car right now, but I spent some time yesterday chatting with Rick Mears. He's never been here. There's a lot of people that are at this show this year just because Penske has touched so many people's lives and that are here for the first time. And they're just, they'll be back next year, I can tell you that, just from the reaction I get.
Pretty neat, pretty neat. And, of course, a lot of the former drivers are there, too. You mentioned George Fulmer at 86 years young is down there. And I saw you, Jackie Ickx, and Uncle Bobby is down there. And, of course, our own David Hobbs. What other personalities are down there?
Well, I mean, I'm at loss at words, if you can believe it, Steve, right now. I'm just trying to catch my breath to get up here. A lot of people that were associated with Penske's wins at Indy, people from the team, the corporation. I haven't seen like Tim Sindrick, but there's just been a lot of people that Roger has touched over the years that are here to see these cars all on display in one spot.
And of course, it's also one of the great memorabilia shows down there too, isn't it?
Well, I'm working both ends here. that's why I'm out of breath. I was actually getting a police escort for George Fulmer, a kind sheriff from Amelia Island has taken George Fulmer down for the photo shoot for him with his L&M car now. So that I was in the middle of that, and there's just a lot of artwork. There's a lot of women's items for purchase here. I mean, you know, all these guys with these cars, you know, they have a lot of money. So there's a lot of women shopping at the Ritz-Carlton down here also.
And
so there's something for everybody.
Right. And there's of course an auction down there too. And a lot of classic cars for sale down there. But you also, is that a McLaren you had a photo of that you posted on our Facebook page yesterday? The orange and black car?
It's an Apollo. And I never even did get any details on the car.
That's a sharp-looking car.
I never even heard. Yes. It very parallels a McLaren.
Okay.
I didn't get the details on the speed or anything like that. They never really had them running, so I wasn't... And they didn't have any brochures, so I really didn't know much on those cars. But, you know, your McLaren, Jaguar, all the manufacturers have a location here where you can test drive cars also. I mean, you could take out a Lexus. You could take out the new Jaguar electric cars here. McLaren's got a booth. You could take a McLaren out. I mean, it's like a mobile dealership as well. Like I said, there's something for everybody at this event. It's definitely a bucket list check off you have to do. This is my 17th year, and I will never miss it.
I was down there a couple years ago, and I drove an AMG Mercedes 550 horsepower, Jeff, and it was quite exceptional. I mean, I think the seat... The driver's seat alone would probably cost as much as your Lexus SUV out there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure it would. I'm sure it would.
It was a phenomenal. I mean, it was just spectacular. Probably a $75,000 car, and the driver it just kind of glided across the road.
I'm surprised you didn't buy it.
I couldn't squeeze it. You know, I think the $900 a month payment probably would have done it. That's probably what it would have been close to, I guess, right?
Probably.
I don't know. I see advertisements for you can lease a Aston Martin for $1,500 a month.
Hey, that's a deal. So,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You saw Ray Everham down there. What's new with Ray?
Oh, I mean, that's another guy. Yeah, I left him off the thing, and he spent 15, 20 minutes telling stories about George Fulmer and how he used to crash the rental cars on the way back to the rental car agency.
I mean, all those race car drivers back then were just hell on wheels when it came to those rental cars. Uncle Bobby tells a story about crashing Jerry Grant on purpose up at Mossport. And just, I mean, there's so many stories. Of course, there's the Augie Papp's famous pool story. And, yeah, it just goes on and on, doesn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, well, why don't you – I'm standing next to George Fulmer. Why don't we put him on and just let him say hi to the audience out there?
Hopefully he will remember who I was.
Yeah.
George, this is Steve. We spent a weekend in Sebring together, and I drove you to the airport. Good. Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, glad to help out.
Yeah, so quite the event down there. What better way to spend March? It's a heck of a lot warmer than Idaho at this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little nippier than it could be, but it's still beautiful here, and it's such a great event. I mean, Bill Warner and this group put this on every year, and it's just phenomenal. And every time I come down here, it's bigger.
What is there a car or a certain car that you've seen down there besides your, of course, the 917 car that you drove in 72? But is there another car that kind of really, like, wow, this really
Sorry
takes
about
me back?
That, see?
Oh, you stepped away?
Somebody started talking on the PA, they're towing a car that's blocking the way.
Oh,
this,
boy.
This is live radio.
This is.
You can't get any better than this. You know, just to have George make the trek out to the East Coast was something.
It is.
You know, he's 86 and... You know, I mean, he doesn't, and he was just honored a couple weeks ago at the NASCAR race, actually.
I've always said George is probably one of the most underrated drivers. And if you talk, you and I have talked to many drivers over the years and done interviews and whatnot. And one name that always comes up that the other drivers always respect is George Fulmer. And for a guy who I was mentioning how Penske has been involved with so many series and whatnot. George, as a driver, was too, whether it was Formula One, NASCAR, IndyCar, and Can-Am, road racing, you name it. George did it back in the day. And for somebody who got a kind of a late start too, George was selling insurance part-time, or actually full-time, and was a part-time driver up until the late 60s. So, pretty neat story, George's, and he has a fantastic book out there. If you have a chance to get it, I certainly recommend it.
Well, and Steve, you were just asking about the javelin, and that's what you hear in the background right now is the javelin pulling up.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Of course, the AMC Javelin Trans Am car, one of the more iconic cars of the heyday of the Trans Am series, which was the early 1970s. So a lot of touch. Any final words, Eddie?
No, I mean, I'm just enjoying everything here. I'm looking forward to next week. St. Pete IndyCar racing starts next weekend. The season kicks off, and I saw Bobby Rahal, and, you know, they're very excited about the upcoming season in IndyCar racing. I think it's going to be a real exciting season with all these new rookies.
And not only that, but a new boss, Roger Penske. So certainly exciting to see what kind of changes they're going to have, not only in the series, but also in the month of May at Indianapolis. And it certainly is pretty neat, all the things that are happening on that side regarding racing.
Well, and we laughed with Roger because I asked him, I said, because Bill has him signing, and I think he probably signed about 10,000 things for the charity auction. And he said he's never signed this much, even when he had to hand write out checks when he first opened the corporation. So it's pretty funny to see Roger in a different shade here this weekend being honored.
Very good. Well, Eddie, we certainly appreciate you being on the show. We look forward to chatting with you next week from St. Pete, from the IndyCar opener.
Thanks a lot, guys. You have a great weekend, okay?
You too. That was Eddie Lapine in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Quick story, since we're talking about George Fulmer and Roger Penske. So I was able to spend some time with George in Sebring a couple years ago, and we're talking stories and telling what. And when he first drove for Roger Penske, it was in the about 1967, he's driving in the Trans Am series with him. And at the time, Roger was, you know, just a Chevrolet dealership, young race team and whatnot. Wasn't the icon he was now, but was starting to get into other businesses. And, you know, the guy was a motivated, American, enterprising young man at the time. And, you know, George was staying at the house in Pennsylvania, in Reading, Pennsylvania. And George goes, you know, I'm a pretty early riser. I'm up at 6 o'clock. He says, and the first night I stayed there, I got up at 6. I'm down there. Roger was already in the kitchen and had already eaten breakfast and was already reading the paper, getting caught up on things. So he goes, the next morning, I tried to, I got up at 5:45. Roger is already down. He tried 5:30. Roger is already down there. So he could not wake up before Roger. Roger always beat him downstairs. And I guess it's kind of known that Roger is one of these guys. Only sleeps 4 to 5 hours a night. That's all he needs.
Wow.
And hits the ground running. And for his age, and I mean, you and I wish we had the energy that Roger does, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to be as successful as he's been throughout his entire life, you know that he's got to outwork, pretty much everybody. And he proves that time and time again. So. Yeah, pretty amazing guy, that's for sure.
All right, when we come back, we're going to play 3 questions with Larry coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Final Inspection Show. Steve Zotke along with Jeff Orlowski joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline from downtown picturesque Pewaukee. It is Larry Janicek. Larry, welcome to the show, sir.
Hello, Steve. What a beautiful weekend we got going.
It is. Not too bad. No complaints. It's even going to be warmer tomorrow. So
you going to get out on the lake yacht there, Larry?
No. It's still a little early for that.
Okay. All right.
It's still in dry dock.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, doing a couple multi-million-dollar repairs or, you know, upgrades to it and stuff. I get it.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have those twin V8s, you got to keep them up. You know?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Larry lives a lifestyle we all wish we had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a joke.
Yeah, you see him out there, all the bikini girls out there drinking Mai Tais.
Yeah, must be nice.
Life of Riley.
The Mai Tai drinking, I think, is going on down in Amelia Island.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on down there. That's a fun event. I was going to go down there. I just couldn't pull the trigger, though. I didn't want to miss you guys.
Too many irons in the fire.
Yeah.
There's so many great events.
Oh, Jeff gets a little jealous, too. So, you know.
Well, you know, you leave me locked here in the studio. I'm not allowed to leave, and you go travel the world. Yeah, I get a little bit jealous sometimes, but... you know, what can you do? I know my place.
Now, Larry, I got a question for you real quick. Did you see the ARCA race last night?
Yes, I did. I was actually, if you had a minute at the end of my 3 questions, I was going to make a comment about it. I watched the ARCA race, but I did not stick around. I went, my wife and I were watching it in our TV room, and then I went and did something once the race was over with. I can't remember what it was. But then later on, she told me, she said, my God, that grandson of Joe Gibbs was whining. And, you know, and I don't condone what he did, but I will say this. When they had that last caution Coy, whatever the kid's name is, Coy is his
Ty, yeah. He's son of Coy.
When he he was one of the few cars that made a pit stop and put tires on. And I think that doing that, I think it put him about eighth. But NASCAR slash ARCA, however you want to call it now, they fiddled around with that restart. When nobody would line up. They had at one time three and four guys lined up in a row.
Well, there's a new rule. That's part of the problem is if you take two tires, you can't improve your position anymore in pit stops. So what they have a rule where if you take, one side of tires or two tires, you get lined up where you were. And then if you take four tires, you have to be lined up behind the guys that took two tires. But you can't improve your position, and you have to. So there's all it's not an easy thing, especially if you're doing scoring or that. And then you have guys arguing. Well, you can't be arguing at the end of the race. So I understand some of his frustration, but there's not too many 17-year-old kids though that has the equipment as good as him, and I understand his frustration. Yeah, exactly. But when you're there's always that attitude where okay, this kid is having it done too easy, and that's mm-hmm. always a frustrating thing, and we've seen some family does it better than others. I think maybe like Joe Nemechek with his son, you knew eventually the kid was going to get into NASCAR, and maybe we weren't sure how far he was going to get, but that's a kid that also worked on his cars, knows the cars, and it wasn't an easy path for him. And same thing with
100%.
Even so much with Ryan Blaney, with his son and that, or with his dad Dave and that. I don't really get that everything was given to him. He had to work for it. So with the Ty Gibbs thing, it's definitely kind of at this point you're like, boy, I don't know. It didn't give an air of hard work and determination last night. What he was able to do.
Right.
So what do we got today?
Well, okay. Last weekend, Harrison Burton, he won the Xfinity race at Fontana. And that made him and his dad, Jeff, the eighth father-son duo to each win an Xfinity race, Xfinity Nationwide Busch Series race. Can you and or Jeff name the other seven father-son duos to accomplish that feat?
Well, let's see here. That's a good one.
It's a pretty interesting group.
Well, you got to go with Earnhardt. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Maybe Allison, Bobby, and Davey. I'm thinking perhaps. I don't know if Davey ever did much. He mostly did ARCA that went into the Cup Series, though. Let's see here. Jeff, we're doing Xfinity father-son winners. And I'm trying to think who else. Well, that's a good question.
It is a good question.
If you want to think about it and come back to it later on in the show, that would be fine, because I listen to the whole show.
What's the second question?
Okay, the second one. Recently in a highly respected auto racing magazine, there was a short article release about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway museum having raised enough money to restore the 1963 Lotus 2/ or the 29/1 car that Dan Gurney drove in the 63 Indy 500, which was also the year that Jim Clark drove the sister car to a second place finish. The article states that the Lotus 29 ushered in the rear engine revolution at the Indy 500. Do you agree with that statement? That Lotus 29 ushered in the rear engine revolution?
Picky. It really set the table for it, because that later that car was the first car, to win an Indy car race, a first rear engine car to win an Indy race. Of course, that was the sister car, the Jim Clark car, in August of 63 at Milwaukee when it won the 200-mile, the Bettenhausen 200. So that was kind of really set the table, and it really emphasized that, hey, the tide has turned. What you're probably referencing to is in 61, which is the Jack Brabham car, which I always thought it was interesting. The person that was really involved with that the most, it was one of the first interviews I did, was Roger Ward, Roger Ward ran into Brabham at Watkins Glen at the Grand Prix there and encouraged him to bring the car to Indianapolis after the Watkins, after the U.S. Grand Prix in, I think it was October of 1960, and they did a test at Indianapolis, and then based off of that test, then they entered the race the following year. But, I mean, with the rear engine thing, I mean, that dates back to the 30s, too, of course, with Harry Miller, who had a rear engine car. There was also another car by Lee Oldfield, and then there was the Rounds Rocket that raced after the war, I think in 48. So there have been some talk of it. I mean, if you really want the most successful rear engine concept race car of all, I think, though, is you, and basically is the Auto Union, which is now Audi, of course, but in Formula One in the 30s, that was the car that really kind of set the, like, saying, yeah, you can actually work and do this. It can actually, having your car in the back and really for balance and whatnot is the way to go. So yeah, it's kind of picky, but yeah, I you could say that. The Lotus 29 was the one that really pushed the rear engine car past, you know, just as an experiment.
Okay, when you were mentioning the side story about the Brabham car, I thought maybe you were going to mention the Wisconsin connection to that car with was actually had the Kimberly special on it for Kimberly from Kimberly Clark.
Oh, that was that was Mickey Thompson in 62, and those are stock block cars that he came out with for that year. And Dan Gurney, of course, raced one. That was his rookie time at Indy in 62. And then also that car was raced, the sister car raced at Milwaukee, correct, with Keith Porky Rackwitz, a sprint car driver from the West Coast, drove that car. And yes, it was sponsored by Jim Kimberly, who in itself is a very interesting person, was an heir to the Kimberly paper fortune. And if you want to go for a tour on Google, look up Jim Kimberly, because there is an interesting guy who dated and lived among the richest people in the world and dated movie stars and was quite the life he lived, let's put it that way.
Okay, my last number three is I've heard some rumblings that there's a possibility Fernando Alonso might race in the IndyCar race at Road America in the weekend of June 19th to the 21st. It's nothing beneficial. It's just kind of rumors. If that would happen, what do you think, how many additional tickets would that sell for that weekend at Road America? What kind of impact would that have?
I would say at least 20%.
Wow.
And I think it's doable, because if I'm Alonso, it has to be one of those, he's a romantic. Let's admit it. This is a guy who gets it. He's a racing romantic. He understands the sport from a wide angle, so to speak. And he understands where his legacy is, and he wants to kind of be, he's kind of a throwback too, where like the Tony Stewart and those, where he wants to, you know, he wants to get the full experience of it. So, I would not surprise me that he would do it, because not only, because he would want to do it. So, and I think that would bring a lot of people who maybe had not come to Road America would say, well, if I'm going to go to Road America, this is a reason for me to go to. So I think, you know, like a lot of people, Indy-centric people, these are the Indy 500 people who only go to the Indy 500, they might go up to Road America. And also would also bring some of the more traditionalist, hardcore F1 fans to come and see them.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did Nigel Mansell, did he generate that kind of additional interest when he came?
Incredible. Incredible. And it's even more than Alonso. For those of us that experienced that, especially at Milwaukee, we had as many foreign journalists and reporters than native or U.S. base. That's how big it was, because he was the reigning Formula One champion, and kart at that time, and IndyCar was probably at its zenith. You had, because of who you had running in it, you still had Emerson Fittipaldi, you had Mario Andretti. So there, you got three world champions running the series full time. And of course, you had your Rick Mearses, you had Bobby Rahal, Michael Andretti. You know, so I mean, the names in that series at the time was incredible. So there was a lot of interest. In fact, Bernie Ecclestone was kind of like taken aback, and that's when he kind of started to say, let's put some water on the IndyCar series, because it was a bit of a threat. It wasn't going to overtake Formula One, but there was quite the interest in Europe and worldwide on the IndyCar series at that point.
Very interesting.
Well, because of the time constraint here, I did cheat on this. That's a good story, though, just because looking at it with the Harrison Burton, of course, Jeff Burton. Here's one I probably would not have gotten, but if you would have thought about it, it makes sense, because actually his career kind of, we went to in the Busch series at that time, and that's David and Larry Pearson. But I was not aware that David Pearson won. I guess maybe if they're counting a sportsman race, maybe. And of course, the aforementioned John and Joe and John Hunter and Imacek, that makes sense. And then of course we mentioned them earlier too. That was Chase and Bill Elliott. And this is the one though, and I know what race he won. This is the one that that'll get Jeff's attention. Terry and Justin Labonte. Do you remember the race that Justin Labonte won?
I do not.
Chicagoland Speedway.
Was it really?
Yes.
Wow.
I was there for that one. And then Dave and Ryan Blaney.
The one that would have got me was the Hamiltons.
Yeah. Sadly forgotten. Bobby Hamilton, neat guy. Did some stuff with him, PR side and stuff at Milwaukee. Gentleman guy. Just a real upfront guy. A shame we lost him so young to cancer and that. And even Bobby Hamilton Jr., he's of course had some issues recently in that, but he was okay. But yeah, Bobby Hamilton was just a nice guy, good guy to work with, and it's a shame we lost him at such a young age, of course. And then Dale Jr. and Dale, so and Dale exactly. Of course, yeah, Dale Sr. of course won so many races at Daytona and at Darlington in the old Sportsman and later Xfinity series, so.
And by far, together, they won the most out of all that group. Dale Sr. had 21 and Jr. had 24, because he was two-time champion in that group.
He won Dale here Jr. at Milwaukee, won. Too.
Yeah.
Winner at the Milwaukee Mile, Dale Earnhardt Jr. So, Larry, thanks again. We appreciate you coming on the show and looking forward to chatting with you next week.
Thank you for the opportunity. Take care.
Coming up next, we're going to talk IndyCar racing with Guy Hobbs. Coming up next on the Final Inspection Show.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi.
Presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
On 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi along with Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We're going to be talking IndyCar with Guy Hobbs. Welcome back to the show, Guy.
Well, thanks for having me back. It's quite unusual.
Good having you back on. And things are starting not only heating up in the upper Midwest, but IndyCar season is starting next week with St. Petersburg next week on the road course by the airport there. And a lot of things happening in the sport itself. And, of course, this kind of intrigued me when this first broke late last year, but that's Scott McLaughlin and Team Penske. And initially, you know, he was just going to do a test, and that went very, very well. And then, of course, they said, well, you know what, I think we're going to give him a try at the Indianapolis Grand Prix. But, of course, it came out this week that he actually might be running more races, won't he, Guy?
I believe he will, and he is quite a – I mean, he's sort of come out of nowhere, really. But, of course, Roger has always had an eye for up-and-coming talent. So I think he's obviously going to be... It won't take long for him to prove himself that he was a good choice, let's put it that way, for Roger.
And I think it's going to be kind of easy to just kind of compare him to Scott Dixon. Now, Scott Dixon, of course, came through Indy Lights with the PacWest team and actually won a race with PacWest and that, but was one of his known natural talents. You wonder, maybe we shouldn't be glowing so much on him, but this is a talented kid. But kind of does remind you of Scott Dixon a bit, doesn't he?
He does a little, and the driving style is the same, and he's aggressive too. I've noticed that, and well, not really noticed it, but I've sort of read that about him.
Yeah,
and he seems to be. They set him like a mark, and he's almost instantly at that mark and beyond it. So I think, obviously, we hope he doesn't go too foolishly and think, I think this is. There's nothing to this, and then find himself wrapped around a wall or two here and
right.
Every now and again. Because it's, you know, the ovals in general to non-oval drivers, they seem to do the first few laps or a first session or a first test, and they're like, oh, there's nothing to this. It's, you just keep going around and around and around, maintain the throttle and maintain steering input. But, of course, the moment you do any kind of fractional adjustment in any area, whether it's getting off the throttle, getting on the brake, or steering input, it's all magnified a million times because of the banking.
Mm-hmm.
Or, obviously, it's not very much banking, but because of the difference of the fact that it's the oval. And then suddenly, next thing you know, before you know it, you're in the wall backwards and in pain.
And with
a very large bill.
Yes. Talking about Australia, Australia is putting together a television package with IndyCar as well as Canada, which hasn't been the case recently. And of course, you were actually involved back in years ago with the international television broadcast feed and whatnot. And how important is that to the IndyCar series?
The international broadcast is huge for the IndyCar series, and I'm not saying that because I was involved in it, but I mean when they first did the international TV, they only did, I think, three races were covered internationally, not including the Indianapolis 500 because they have their own TV rights and everything else. But then immediately they noticed in odd places like Southeast Asia, they were suddenly getting these massive viewership numbers for IndyCar. And, of course, along came Nigel Mansell and some other names, Mark Blundell from Europe. And suddenly, at one point, I know when I was involved in the IndyCar coverage, the ratings in England for the IndyCar were higher than they were for the Formula One. I don't know whether it was because of the time of the day they were on or anything else or because of the outlet they were on, but I know they were at one point, and I believe a certain Mr. Eccleston had a little say in what was going to be happening with that from now on.
Right, right.
He didn't like the fact that the IndyCar was drawing better. But of course, at the time, IndyCar, when they first went with the international television coverage, it was Mario Andretti, it was Emerson Fittipaldi, Nigel Mansell, Michael Andretti, just to name, and the answers, I mean, just to name a few. So you had some massive names involved in IndyCar at the time, or CART, as it was called back mm-hmm. then. So that certainly helped. And he had a number of European drivers, obviously, as well running, particularly English drivers. And, of course, also at the time, the vehicle, I mean, it was all Lola chassis or Reynard chassis, and the gearboxes were all made in England. A lot of the engines were put together in England before headed over here. So there was a massive European following of just how those things were going. That helped, obviously, immensely.
It certainly does. And, of course, you know, the IndyCar opener next week in St. Pete, and a lot of new names. And one of the more intriguing names is Arenas VK, probably not very familiar to a lot of American fans, but he's going to be running with Ed Carpenter Racing. Bring some money. Let's admit it. He brings a check with him, and that helps in this with the economics of racing. But he's certainly a quick driver, isn't he?
He's certainly very quick, and he's proven. That my big question is, is he coming into the series in the right team? Although Ed Carpenter's team has come on a long way since they've debuted a number of years ago, and he'll get some good advice and good help there, but I'm just not sure if they've got the equipment they need.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, obviously he's not going to step into a Penske car, and he's probably taken the best choice he had at the time, and he's going to have a very steep learning curve, and he's going to have to prove himself very quickly, I think, to get then more support from Chevrolet and everybody else.
Yeah, it certainly will, because you look at Ed Carpenter Racing, they've won some races, especially with Ed on the ovals and that, and struggled somewhat on the road courses. But you look at other teams, too, that have struggled recently, especially like Rahal Letterman Racing, who I don't recall them winning a race last year, but has won in the past. And then Dale Coyne Racing, too, has won in the past, but has struggled a little bit in recent years. So you wonder, what teams are they going to be able to step up this year? And Carpenter Racing with Venus may be able to surprise on a road course coming up this year. Is there anybody else that you think that we should keep an eye out for?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because the one guy I think Marcus Ericsson I know he's already had a couple of years in, but I think we may see something good from him this year. And I think Colton Herta has suddenly sort of found himself, and now he's got that win under his belt. I think we may see some good stuff coming from Colton this year. I think he's probably learnt, and I think maybe his dad, Brian, sat him down and said, okay, we need to sort of work on your race strategy or temperament a bit. I think we may see some good stuff from him. I'm hoping that Connor Daly can also come through with Ed Carpenter Racing.
We had Connor. We had Connor up here last year for a dinner, and he was still paying off some racing debt from the year previously, and he didn't even have a car. This is a guy who's. I mean, talk about a guy who's all in guy. He doesn't even have a car. I think he had borrowed somebody else's car. I think it was maybe Hinchcliffe's car to drive up here. So, yeah, incredible determination, and kind of he's all in, just like, well, what's his name on Jeopardy was, right? He's all in. He's bet it all.
Oh, so you watch Jeopardy too?
Yes. Yeah. James, Jeopardy James.
Jeopardy James, yes, you're right. Jeopardy James is rather good. I hope Connor Daly can turn out to be as good as Jeopardy James.
Otherwise, he's going to have to go to Vegas and win some money that way, right?
That would be one way to do it. And, of course, I think he lives in Vegas now, or certainly Derek, his father, I think, lives in Vegas, or was living in Indianapolis, but I believe he moved to Vegas at some point not long ago. Of course, the other names to watch out for, too, I mean, the old standby, Scott Dixon, although Scott Dixon's actually getting old now for IndyCar.
Yeah, you keep wondering, like, is this guy ever going to slow down? When will that happen? And it remains to be seen, doesn't it?
Yeah, and of course he's been around because he did so many years in Indy, what was then Indy Lights, and he came through that championship and came up into IndyCar. And I mean, he's been since the mid-90s, basically, well, not mid-90s, but late-90s. Been involved in the whole series, and I mean, he's been at every track about 20 times, so he knows the track, knows the people, knows the cars, and knows all the people that supply the cars, and so I think he's probably going to have a phenomenal year this year.
Yep, looking forward to it, and of course the big race, opening race next weekend at St. Petersburg, always a good time, and Guy, appreciate you coming on the show.
I can't believe it's already time for the season opener.
I know. Time flies.
I know when I was involved full-time in IndyCar, waiting until March seemed to take forever. And now, sure enough, here we are, March, and this weekend coming up, we're going to be our first IndyCar race in the books. Hopefully, it'll be great weather down there.
I hope so. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to chatting with you again soon, Guy.
And then if you're looking for something to do at Road America this weekend, there is, in fact, a snow autocross weekend going on. And no, I'm not being paid by Road America to say that. But it is open to the public, and I was just walking around the streets of Elkhart Lake, and there are some phenomenal-looking cars parked in town. I guess they're on lunch break at the moment, but a little bit of ice racing and snow cross.
Very good. There's always something happening in Road America, so looking forward to getting up there this year. Guy, we'll talk to you again. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you very much, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you. That was Guy Hobbs on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Hey, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
We'll be back next on the Final Inspection Show with predictions. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zottke along with the Polish Pipe. I'm Jeff Orlowski. How are we doing today, Jeff?
Oh, fantastic, Steve. Can't wait to get back outside and enjoy some of this nice weather.
It is nice. Not only is it nice, like temperature for seasonably a little bit warmer than usual, but it looks nice too. Nice blue sky.
Yeah, I finally see the sun and got steaks to throw on the grill tonight.
Oh, look at you.
It's going to be a good couple days, I'll tell you that. That grill is going to be going. But like Chuck Freeman, I don't ever put my grill away. There could be a foot and a half of snow, I'll still be out there grilling.
If you get a chance, make sure to follow Drunken Brian France. we want this guy to get as many followers as one. I've been following him for a little over a year.
Yeah, I've been following him too.
I haven't been on Twitter as much as I used to be, but he is one of the bright funny things that comes across your timeline. And he's being sued, Jeff.
Yeah, yes, he is.
He's being sued by
Brian France.
Really? I mean,
how out of touch can you be? How out of touch can you be? And then you have these slurping NASCAR media, Moody, looking at you, buddy. You know, oh, well, he's had posts where he says me, indicating that he is Brian France. So I can see how people could get confused and not think that it's a parody account. Are you out of your mind?
That's embarrassing.
It is absolutely embarrassing. And you see these quote-unquote, you know, journalists.
Nothing.
That all they do is just suck on NASCAR 24/7.
Nothing on the NBC Sports NASCAR thing on this. They didn't even report it.
Well, because it's going to get thrown out. There's no reason to report it.
It better be.
It's absolutely stupid. And the bad thing for the drunken Brian France guy on Twitter is that Brian France has the money to drag this out and completely bankrupt him and ruin his life if he wanted to.
All right. One of the issues brought up in the lawsuit states that the gentleman, I think is Brian Steele is the guy's name, opened an account in February 14. As of January 2020, Steele has posted over 79,400 tweets. As of January 2020, Steele has posted over 2,700 photos, and at the time he had over 14,000 followers as of February. That's gone up to 18,000.
Yeah.
And I hope it goes, I'm pretty sure it's over 20,000 now, and hopefully it'll get even bigger.
Well, when you do something stupid like this, Brian France, he's going to give him all the free publicity
he wants.
So, you know, it's good. Good for him. And I like that guy. He's entertaining. Make sure you follow him.
All right, predictions. Phoenix, we're just going to do Cup because it doesn't matter. Xfinity, Kyle Busch is in the Xfinity race, so mark him as your winner in Penn. And I'm going to go with he was quick. I guess was the fastest in the 10 lap increment. So I'm going to go once again, second week in a row, Brad Keselowski.
Okay, that's a good choice. I'm going Kyle Busch this week.
Kyle Busch. We're waiting to hear from Dennis. Larry Janicek, homer that he is, Mr. Dirt Car, went with Kyle Larson. Love to see that.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, you had Blaney sign a multi-year extension this week. Kyle Larson and Brad Keselowski are by far your top two free agents.
Does that put any heat on Keselowski?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
If you're Brad, aren't you pissed?
You already switched to Cruz and everything, and Blaney's been running so strong.
He has, but Brad's got, you know, all the wins.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah. But you think Logano's got the championship.
Got the championship, Brad's got the wins, and Blaney gets the extension.
It'll be interesting to see. So Blaney's got a good future, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he does. The kid's got talent, that's for sure.
All right, well, we appreciate you coming on. Everybody who came on the show, Dennis Michelson, of course, Willie T. Ribs, Guy Hobbs, Larry Janicek, and Eddie Lapine from Amelia Island. Looking forward to everything this weekend. Having some fun in the sun, and of course, next week, IndyCar opener.
Yep, can't wait.
You've been listening to the Final Inspection Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.